Something happened. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Ramba Kadia. E canta Satan Labrato Pratis Catalina. E canta Po Santa Linda Rabasaria. Something's happening. Hallelujah. E Crabanda Baso Predis Catalida. E Camblato Predi Bums Cataliga Rabasaria. Oh, Res Cataliga. Receive the touch. Mancla Bos Catalida Rabia. E canta Secla Tumba Rabasaria. Something's happening. Rimbra Rabasaria. E Crique Bumbra Rabaseca Nisadea. Oh, Malenglanda Bos Cataliga Rabasaria. Oh, Scatal. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your move. Thank you for the bodies that have been lifted. Thank you for the ones that have been laid down at your feet. We magnify you. Even as we come to the end of another month, thank you for the coming month. Thank you because there's a manifestation of your power on the inside of us. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You're welcome to church. Amen and amen. I hope you had a wonderful week. Romans 15, verse 4. I don't have my glasses here, so you need to be fast for me, so I don't delay. Romans 15, verse 4. I need the New King James Version. It says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, so that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Amen. And we know that all scripture were written by the inspiration of God. Men were moved by the Spirit of God, and the scriptures were written. And so every time we read the scriptures, the first thing that should come to your mind is that you are going to get forth and hope, patience and comfort, and then you are going to get hope by reading the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, we look at our conduct. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 12 and verse 13. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Hallelujah. He says, let no one despise. So, this is Paul writing to Timothy and telling him that, look, let no one despise your youth. So, you may think you are small or you are the least in your family. Let no one despise your youth, okay? Because, you know, oftentimes, on this side of the divide, we all go through things with age or by age. Hallelujah. Amen. But people don't want to go by age. Amen. So if it's the order that we come, people don't want to go by age. But we must do things by age, Abby. If we must eat, you must give the elderly ones first, Abby, and all that. So unfortunately, we have transposed all those things even to spiritual matters. Hallelujah. And I think it's in the book of Job that says that it's the breath of the Almighty that gives wisdom and understanding. Amen. It's not by age. Hallelujah. Amen. It's by the breath of the Almighty that gives wisdom and understanding. And you see, also, if you look at the story of the artisans and the skillful men in the Old Testament, it wasn't that everybody was not skillful. He said, out of all the skillful men, God singled out Oholiab and Bezalel. And an excellent spirit from him rested upon them. Hallelujah. So they were not the most skillful. Hallelujah. But what distinguished them was the presence of the Spirit of God on their life. And because the Spirit of God was on upon them, it made them to be able to do exactly the things that God has asked them to do and to teach other skillful men what God has asked them to do. So if you want to be separated from the pack, okay, then add the excellent Spirit of God to whatever you are doing. Hallelujah. And it takes you walking in line with God for you to be able to walk with the Spirit of God. Amen. So he's saying to him, now look, don't let them say that you are small and that this is your age. Amen. There's no point. He says, be, 1 Timothy 4, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Hallelujah.
Amen. Be an example to the believers, meaning that when they see you, okay, when the believers see you, they understand the things they ought to be doing by time, by just seeing you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was going to be lured into an unfruitful argument. And I just looked at it and said, there's no need for this argument. Okay? And the argument was simple. It has to be only ordained people that should administer the Holy Communion. And I was just laughing. I just kept quiet and I just let it be. Because there was no point having that. Hallelujah. It takes the wisdom of God to allow you to know some things. When Christ, you know, and where did the Holy Communion come from? Anybody can help me. Where did it originate from? Huh? Yeah, from Christ. But what was Christ observing when he instituted the Holy Spirit? Last Supper. And what's the Last Supper called? You are the ones that call it Last Supper. What is Last Supper called? What was it doing? No. It's one word. Thank you. Passover. Hallelujah. So we're going to be observing the Passover. Hallelujah. And if you go back to the history of the Passover, amen, I don't think they were ordained priests that God told to do the Passover. No, they were not. Abi, he told every household that this is how you are going to do it. And he said, you must do it after you leave this place. You must continue from generation to generation. So that when they ask you, you say, this is how the Lord God delivered us. And Christ was observing it. I do not see where to see an ordained thing. But that's just by the way, because you need to read the scriptures. You know, when I go to, I'm not criticizing anybody, but you know, when we go for functions, we all are not allowed to take the Holy Communion if you are not confirmed. Do you know that? Yes, you are not allowed to. So we continue to be in your sin until forever. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's besides the point. He says, back to this, he says, but be an example to the believers. Amen. So, you look at things, and so there was a time, one of his friend's parents, okay, she traveled, and then she came back with a UEFA signed football. UEFA. You know UEFA? The European Football Association. UEFA signed football. And she gave it to him. And I knew that that thing was expensive. And then I was forming daddy. I wanted to buy him another of that. And I looked, when I saw the cost, I said, okay, calm down. This one that you have, you are going to keep. And so how did he get it? That's where I'm going. And it was very, very expensive. How did he get it? Because of the things that he does. The woman's son took an adherence to him. And the woman said to me, sir, your son is a mentor to my son. He sees the things that he's doing and he wants to be like that. And so if the boy wants to do anything, he will go to him. I mean, he will cling on to him and everything. So very soon, he was playing football. He was doing practically the same things that he was doing. And then the woman, in appreciation, just went and carried whoever signed ball. That ball is in the house. He doesn't leave the house so that he doesn't get missing. Hallelujah. By the time you are kicking ball around and the ball is almost about 100,000 naira, you know that you have to be, it's not fellele that we used to play in. Hallelujah. But it says you have to be an example to the believers in word. To the believers in word. Amen. Not just to anybody. So if you say that you're a believer, then another believer should be able to look at your life, okay, and then take examples of your life and replicate it. Hallelujah. And then you say, what happens to the people that are not believers? Let us go to the scripture we read this morning. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, I think is verse 19. sorry, verse 15. Okay, let's take it for 13. So Mark 2:13. It says, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat down together with Jesus and his disciples, for they were many, and followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to himself, to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Hallelujah. Where are we coming from? Be an example to the believers. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not setting examples for the unbelievers. Hallelujah. You are setting an example to them that have an adherence to the Son of God. Okay? So that your, he says in your, go back to 1 Timothy. So he said in your word, in your conduct, in purity, in spirit, and in love. Hallelujah. In your conduct, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that we were made in the image and likeness of God. Okay? And then in the book of John, when Christ was talking, he said, John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, John chapter 5 and verse 19, then Jesus answered and turned to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Hallelujah. So if you take John chapter 5, verse 19, he's saying, Christ is saying that, look, it's what I see my Father do that I'm doing. Amen. So if you see him going about doing good, it is what he's seeing his Father doing that he's doing. And in the same manner, he expects that we ourselves, having come joined heirs with him, whatever we see him do, so we will do. Amen. So that it doesn't become controversial or it won't be any point of, any controversy, that when you are sitting down and explaining things to unbeliever, what another believer should do is to take a cue from what you are doing. Now, in Mark chapter 2, when we were talking about it in Bible school this morning, we looked at, I think, verses 1 and 2, and then we also looked at verse, I think, 13 or 14. He talked about the fact that people gathered and he touched them. Hallelujah. It is the believers gathered. People gathered and he touched them. People will gather and then he will teach them. Okay? And once they see that he is in a place, everybody gravitates towards where he is. Hallelujah. And then he begins to teach them. Amen. Now, and you see, when things happen, and when you see things happen around us, know that there's nothing new under the sun again. The people that began to criticize him when he started talking to the tax collectors were the scribes and what? And the Pharisees. The people that are supposed to be custodians of the scriptures. Amen. They are the first ones saying, why are you, what are you doing? What is it? In fact, I know when such things happen, they're never bold enough. They went to the disciples. Why is he mingling with tax collectors? Because to them, tax collectors were a plague, in quotes. There were people that were unjust, people that, and you can't blame them, because if you see tax collector, you want to run away. Okay? But Christ was setting an example, not to the tax collectors, but to his own disciples and every other person that will care to follow him, that this is how you ought to deal with everybody around you. And if we continue, he says, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a simple answer. He said, look, if everybody is fine, he doesn't need a physician. The only person, the people that we know, and he knows, and he agrees with, that needs a physician, is the one that is not fine. He's not feeling well in his body. And he says, for the one that is righteous, I have not come to them that is righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. So if everybody sees that is righteous, nobody can stay out of this matter. But says, I have come to them that are sick and in need of a physician. So every time you remember that, always go back to Isaiah, I think Isaiah 61, which says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to give you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. Because the people that are sick in physician doesn't necessarily mean that they are sick physically. Amen. It doesn't. I mean, people suffer a lot of things. They call it heartbreak. Give me Isaiah 61. Okay. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Okay. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see, if you follow step by step, precept by precept, the things and the life of Jesus Christ, you will see that everything is that was written about him in Isaiah 61 verse 1 here, or he did. And if we are not careful, we will stray and go back into this bondage. This morning when we were having the Bible study, this last verse, he says, an opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now he says, I am not bound. But you know that when Itunu was speaking this morning, he said that if you do not forgive, you will become unproductive. Hallelujah. Now, tie that to opening of the prison to those who are bound. He came and he preached forgiveness. And he said, teach us how to pray. And in this like manner, he taught them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them who trespass against us. Hallelujah. Okay? So, an action comes before. He says, "As forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us." Meaning that as you let go of those people that trespass against you, you are receiving your own freedom. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "And the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Amen. Hallelujah. So bond, it doesn't necessarily mean that those that our hands are tied, hallelujah, because we tie ourselves in different ways and different manners that we do not know, simply because we do not obey his word. And I'm saying that, look, because I'm sitting with sinners, I mean, you should be happy that I'm sitting with sinners, because what he's trying to do to the sinners is to make them free and heal them. Amen. You know, preach good tidings to the poor. To heal those who are brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. We see them around us every day. Every day. Some people don't know that they are bound. Hallelujah. And some people do not acknowledge the fact that they are bound. Okay? But if you go back to Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says that we'll be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Amen. In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Hallelujah. He says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Hallelujah. So talking, if you look at 1 Timothy 4:12, saying that be an example in word, okay? Now, Colossians 4 is saying that let your speech, the words that come out of your mouth, be with grace. And then seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes, and we say that it is easier said than done. That's what we say. It's easier said than done. So it's easy to say certain things, but it's not easy to do it. But when you begin to practice it, you find out that it is easier done than said. Hallelujah. Because it just naturally becomes part of you. Okay? Now it says, let your words be with grace. I mean, sometimes when you look at it, when you look at situations around you and when things happen around you, you just want to say everything that is on your mind at that point in time. You just want to address the matter and say, you just dump it and say anything anyhow. And then you say, you don't care wherever it goes or whatever happens. But he's saying here that let your speech always, always, always be with grace, irrespective of what says and seasons, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's always a response, and a very good response for each situation you have, that will not leave any problem, but will send the message across. He says it should be with grace and seasoned with salt. And we all know what salt is. Salt makes your food that is presented to you, palatable. And salt is also used as what? A preservative. Hallelujah. So people can, it says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now people can kill. People do kill with the words that they speak. Because once it's not seasoned with salt, it's not going to preserve that life. It's going to destroy it. Hallelujah. So somebody offends you or does something wrong. Okay? What you naturally want to do is to tear the person down. You know, when we were small, we used to have competition. It's serious competition. It's the person that can fire the most. So once somebody steps on your toes, I mean, the most hurtful of words you are going to find that you can get on the inside of you, you coin it up and deliver it to the person so that the person can go thinking. And then the person will take it and look at it and say, I have a better one. And then he will tell you, and then that's how the problem starts. And then the next thing, he goes physical. And then they say, where did this start? Say, but you said this. No, he said, but you said this first. Then they begin to trace it until somebody says, no. This is the person that started it. Amen. Strife can end. The Bible says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen. Strife can end if we just learn that our speech always be laced with grace and seasoned with salt. Our words are meant to be preservative. Our words are meant to give life to people. As 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct. Hallelujah. In conduct. Amen. I was listening and I don't know why I keep forgetting the name of this person. I was listening and someone said that you may just be the only Bible somebody will read. Amen. So how does that happen? They see you, they look at what, they observe your conduct, and then they conclude in their mind that this is the way to go. They see you, they see your conduct, and they be like, if this is the way to go, I am not going that way. It says, be example to the believers in your conduct, because you are going to be encouraging other people to live the same way. So when they come to you, when believers come to you, like they went, like those Pharisees and scribes went to his disciples and said, why is he dining with sinners? He could give them the right answer. He said to them, I've not come to them that are okay. I've come to the people that are not okay. Hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes when you tell somebody is sick, you just say it's not okay. Hallelujah. Okay? You say, this person is not okay. It's okay. No worries. It's not okay. He says, I've come for the people that are not okay. And they are not being okay. It's not a physical thing. And that was why every time they gather around him, he was always teaching them so that their foundation will be solid and they will grow roots downwards. Amen. Because if you do not address the root of the problem will always be there. So if you are talking to people and you just tell them, look, if I am of a good behavior, okay, and you come to me and I said, I am of a good behavior. I say, why are you of a good behavior? I'm just of a good behavior. It's not going to form anything in you. Because you have to be able to understand what being of a good behavior actually translates to from the inside. Now, it's not that on the inside you do not always have a struggle. Do you agree with me? On the inside, you always have a struggle, either to do this or to do that. Okay? But what will, at the end of the day, come to bear will be the counsel of the God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you'll be able to tell other believers that, look, it's not that sometimes I don't feel this way, but this is how the word of God says it is, and this is how we have to go. Bible says that if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. That's what Christ said. If you love me, then you obey my commandments. And so once you want to obey, you are not obeying his commandment because you are compelled. Huh? You are not obeying because you are... You know some people who obey because they are compelled. Okay, normally, so if you are in a classroom and the teacher says, everybody sit down. Some people don't want to sit. Don't make noise. People don't want to make noise. And then once you say, class captain, write the name of noisemakers. Some people will keep quiet. Some people will keep talking. Now, when the teacher now deals with the noisemakers, that were their names were written down, next time he tells class captain to write names down, you will see that everybody behaves. Now, they are not behaving because they respect the teacher. They are behaving because of a consequence. Okay? Now, he's saying that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, you are not compelled, you are not being compelled to obey his commandments because of consequences. He's saying you are obeying my commandments because you love me. Hallelujah. Amen. You love me, and so you will do the things I naturally tell you to do. You know, all the while when we were growing up, what we have been accustomed to is that you do this. If you don't do this, there's a consequence. Huh? We were not taught the way of love. That look, if you love me, when I tell you something, you will do it. Hallelujah. That's not where we were brought up. We were brought up with Cain and everything, and said, if you don't do this, then this is the problem. And that's why a lot of people became rebellious. You know, when we were in school, once you know that, you know, when you do something wrong, once we know that it's wrong, we are just ready. In the following morning, we are ready for assembly and we are ready for the king. So you put exercise book in your back and your knicker, and you go to, that's how you go to school. So that nothing catches you by surprise. Because when the teacher is coming, he's not going to tell you that, okay, I'm going to come and beat you at 10 o'clock. He's not going to say that. He's just going to walk into class and you start beating. And by that time, it will be too late for you to start putting on your armor against the teacher's cane. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you love, you know that if you love, the natural tendency is just to obey. Hallelujah. It's just to obey. Our conduct is very important. Ephesians chapter 5. And read from verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of Christ, of God. Sorry. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Amen. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Amen. In the Amplified Version, it says, but immorality, sexual vice, and all impurity of lustful, rich, wasteful living, or greediness must not be named among you as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. Okay? So it talks about fornication, it talks about uncleanliness. And in the Amplified Version, it says this uncleanliness is of lustful, rich, wasteful living. Okay? Then he talks about covetousness, which says is greediness. It says, or greediness must not be named amongst you. Hallelujah. So greediness and uncleanliness should not be named amongst you. You have to be an example to believers in conduct, in these things that we are talking about. Okay? And then he continues and says that, let there be no filthiness, obscene indecency, nor foolishness, and sinful, silly, and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting nor becoming, but instead, voice your thankfulness to God. Amen. I'm reading this thing so that you see the kind of conduct he's talking about. If I read the, let me go back and read the New King James Version. It says from verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Hallelujah. Greediness, uncleanliness, fornication, in these conducts, you should not be found. So if you see a believer that will not sit in the midst of, let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, it says, blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He says, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. So you are not taking counsel from the ungodly people. And you see, we all know, and we can tell who the ungodly people are. You're not taking counsel. So someone comes in and tells you that, oh, why are you sorry yourself? Are you not the one in charge of these things? You can make use of it and then return it later. That's a problem. Because it's going to become a habit, and then you'll get caught up with it, and you will never return it. Because in the first place, it's not your own. So if I take this thing, and I go and I live without it, without permission, it's wrong. Okay? Because it is somebody's custody, and you're not taking permission, then you don't do it. Now, if you are taking counsel from ungodly people, what is going to happen is that they are going to begin to tell you things, and you are going to be drifting away from the natural thing or the right things you have done in the first place. Because everything that ends up looking bad looks good when you start it. Amen. You know, when you are going up, you go to the kitchen and then you steal meat, it's a problem. And our parents recognize that it's a problem at that age. Because they will tell you, say, why didn't you come and ask me? Why did you go and take it without permission? It's only when we grew up, and we say, okay, this one is not stealing. You just go to the kitchen and say, I'm going to eat. But when you are growing up and you sneak into the kitchen, take it and run away and hide and clean your mouth and nobody sees anything. And then they ask, there were 5 pieces of meat here. And then you say nothing. That's unjust. And then you go and tell your friends and say, look, I just got away with it. They were just asking. I just kept quiet. Now you are building up, and it's building up, and it's building up, and you get to a point of no return if care is not taken. He says, and you know, stands in the path of sinners. Hallelujah. You see, I've told you this story before of the keyboardist we had in church that will play in church on Sunday, and then all through the week, he will play in the club. Okay? And then he moved his, and then he said he lost his accommodation. And then moved the things and went to stay in the club. And so from club, he would come in the morning and then he would come and play. And we didn't know. Until one day, the club showed him that this is the club. So where he put his things, one morning he got there and they had packed all his belongings. And then he came back to church and then he said, he called me and said, Pastor, this has happened. And I'm like, why didn't you? Why? What are you doing? He says, it's the path of sinners. Because I, if you know the club and the things that happen in the club, you would see that how come he's able to stay in their midst for that long, Monday to Saturday, and he's comfortable. To him, he will say, no, don't worry, I'm fine. I know how to take care of myself. But when drifting happens, that's the way drifting happens. Drifting never looks like you're moving. When you are drifting, it never looks like you're moving. It just looks like it's fine. Huh? I mean, when you go to the jetty and you tie and you leave a canoe by the jetty and you leave it untied, you just watch it. Come back and in 10 minutes, and you see that it will have gone far. When you leave it there and you look at it, you say, this thing is not moving, I'm coming. And then you go. But in 10 minutes, when you come, it will have been far gone. And it was just drifting. And that's why you see that every time they will always tie the canoe or whatever, they tie it to the jetty. Amen. First Timothy, and then he says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. When you take care of these things, you are able to hold yourself in the right conduct. So when you see a believer that will always be in church or will always want to hear the word of God, that's the right conduct. That's the example to set, and that's the example for people to follow. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, it says, in love, be example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God is love. God himself is love. And God says that, look, for this reason, this is the reason why I gave my son, okay, to you guys, because I so love the world. Hallelujah. When we live a life of love, a life that is not selfish, considers other people well before their own, hallelujah, a life that is embedded in God's way, when we live that life, people will tend and will want to follow you. Let me not kid you. You see, when you see the crowd, be wary of the crowd. Because naturally, people do not want to do things that... people do not want to follow the things that are in order. People just naturally want to do things that are out of order. Okay? So when you see a lot of people gathering, be careful and look at it carefully. That why is the reason why they are gathering. But if you are living a life that is full of the Spirit of God, if you look at verse 13 says that, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Okay? That's what he was saying to him. He said, look, when you become an example to them in love, in conduct, in purity, and in faith, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attention to reading. Reading the scriptures. Amen. You cannot give what you don't have. Okay? So it's impossible to give what you don't have. So if I want to give you, if I ask you that, what's your shoe size, and you tell me that it's 45, it's either I am wearing 45 and I have it, or I have 45 that I have somewhere that I can give you. But it has to be that I have access to that shoe size, and that's why I want to give to you. If I don't have it, I will not be able to give it. Hallelujah. So if anybody is going to make your life and look at your life and be like, there are some people that... There's one guy in my office. When you look at that guy, for him to complain, that, you know, as we are seated now, and then you are seated here, Pastor Divine is seated there, I'm seated there. And then after I'm done here, maybe we are singing and praising God. After I'm done, I'm now going to sit there. Instead of him to complain, he will move his things. I'm going to sit there. He's in my office, so just moving seats, I'm going to sit there. Now, again, we start up, and then I take over that seat. He won't go back to that one. He'll go back to the next available one. That's what he will do. And then, if you have a disagreement with him, or you're arguing with him, he never raises his voice. I've not seen a human being like that. You know, when Christ said, I've not seen this kind of faith, I've never seen any human being like that. Even when somebody is screaming on top of their voice, like, yeah, the guy will just smile and say, so what do you want us to do? He just said, what do you want us to do? That's all. So one day I looked at it, I said, look, if I have half the patience that you have, I'll be the happiest of all men. That somebody will press all his buttons. Every, you know when you say the problem is pressing your button, he will do everything humanly possible. At worst, you know what he will do? He will get up and leave. And I kept looking at him. That this is something that every believer should learn and should build. Amen. Everybody should be able to learn this kind of lifestyle and build it. It will not, for one day, say anything. Our lives has to be the way it says. When you live in love, you know that love does not believe. I think it's 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not insist on its own. It doesn't. So even when you think that, oh, you are in the right and people are not doing the right thing, we have read Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, that says that let your words, it doesn't mean that you won't address it, but it says let your words be gracious and be seasoned with salt. So that way you are addressing the situation. So imagine that guy, that person I told you in the office, nobody ever goes to him to cause trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody goes to him and want to pick a fight because that they know that they will never get it. Even when they say, hey, blah, 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 you just like, okay, so let us look at it this way. And then it begins again. And then I just smile. When he gets it to the peak, he will just keep quiet and he will not say anything, and that is the end of it. Amen. When we hit HIT, or we step on the principles of God, everybody has access to God's principles. So the principle of giving and receiving, everybody has access to it. Okay? But the ones that have been separated unto God, they don't just have access to his principles. They know his ways. Hallelujah. And because you know his ways, it becomes easier for you to automatically activate God's principles on your path in life. You don't need to learn them. You don't need to learn that if you give, you just need to understand this is the way of God. And you see that naturally, you'll be doing the things that God is doing. We have read in the book of John, that it says, look, I do the things I see my Father do. Our example is not to the world. The world will follow when we replicate, when Christ has been able to replicate himself in as many of us that have given ourselves to, have given our lives to him. He says the life we live is no longer ours, but his. Amen. Then the people out there, okay, they will be able to follow. Hallelujah. What we see these days is that one person in the church will criticize another person in church. We don't need that. Live a life that's an exemplary life. Hallelujah. So that we can replicate. So replicate. Amen. You know when people give birth, fathers, sons look like their fathers, fathers look like their, everybody looks alike. Huh? Let this also be in our behavior. That when we act or we are in a place, our conduct tells everybody that, ha, light is here. Amen. Ha, light has come. It says in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is that once they hear that he was there, everybody will gravitate towards where he is because they know that they are not going to live the same way they have come. If my life is not going to impact anybody's life, then of what use is your being born again? And you know that there are baby steps in Christianity. There are baby steps. Okay? Some people are just coming in. Some people do not understand other things. But then for them that are there, they ought to be that example. John chapter 6, verse 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the ones who come to me, I will by no means cast out. Amen. He says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And then the ones that come to me, I will by no means cast out. cast out. You know that conduct can cast people out. Misconduct can't. I mean, they don't look at that. Why are you behaving like this? Sorry, I'm going elsewhere. That's what they would do. You know, there was, I think, we wanted to buy something. And then, how much is it? Is it a sin to price? It's not a sin now. Maybe before, I won't price, but now you have to price. Because everybody's taking advantage of the economy. They'll say, it's dollar or everything. So if this is supposed to be 1,000 naira, they'll tell you it's 2,000 naira. So when I go there, how much is this? Said, this price. I said, okay, can I pay this amount? And the person turned. I said, do you think I'll beg you? If you like, don't sell now. I'm asking you, I'm asking you, the best you will tell me is that this is the best, or you just set up this shop so that you'll be forming, that you can react. That's what I told the person. I said, you'll be in trouble. That's how you cast people away. I was just turned, but I was just not interested in turning away that day. I just told the don't behave like this. If people tell you that, can you take one time and say, oh God, please, oh, this is the best price. You go turn your back and people will never come to your shop again. And it's the same thing in the house of God. People will not follow us if our behaviors will cast them out. I've said it. There's no point going around and saying, the Lord said I should tell you. There's no point. Amen. Show them the Bible. Because that's what Christ, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1. It says, meditate on the word day and night. Hebrews 1:1 says, in this age and time, he has spoken to us by his son. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the word, and the word was the God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. If you only give people the right scriptures, every other thing will follow. Hallelujah. I'm not saying there's not a place for the Lord said, or there's an impression upon my heart. No. But the basic thing that people need to know is that it is in the word that they will find comfort. And that's why I always read Romans 15 verse 4. Anytime I have the opportunity to read it, that in the stories that we read in the scriptures, everything that was written was written for our learning. So that we will know the ways of God. So that we will have hope. Hallelujah. That if it happened before, it will happen again. Because Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will not burn your energy. When you gravitate towards sinners, it is because you are giving them the word. You know when Peter and John, after the encounter at the gate called Beautiful, and they told the man, gold and silver I have done, whatever I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then he walked, and then people gathered. Peter and John did not start looking for somebody else to pull up and say, gather. What they did was, he said, look, I have not done this of my own power. And then he started preaching and showing them the way. And then he started from the beginning and said, this is how he started. And then he came, and all of us refused him, and then we sent him to the cross. And it's by that power that I'm doing what I'm doing. And that power is not concentrated in certain people. Amen. It is available to as many as will open up their hearts to him. It says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's just like the air that we breathe through. The air is available to all men. But because we love life, all men will draw in air and release carbon dioxide. Abi? All men will make use of it. But when it comes to salvation of your soul, everybody begins to have a question. But say that grace, it has appeared to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation. It has appeared to all men. And then you and I have that responsibility of helping those ones that have not been able to tap into it to be able to tap into it. And then if I am doing what I'm helping somebody tap into it, another believer sees me that I'm helping somebody. That believer is going to be given the impetus to go and do the same, and then we begin to replicate. Amen. It is for us to live the life that is truly worthy of an ambassador of Christ. We said it over and over, who an ambassador is. And let nobody point finger. You know that my people say that let nobody point finger and query our Christ. Hallelujah. If they will point finger, let them be able to point finger and say, it is by Christ that we have been saved. It is by Christ that we enjoy a new lease of life. That's what they should point fingers on. Not that, is this how Christ told you to be living? That's absolute disregard for the one that has called us. It's like as if you are leaning him again to the cross. Let your life, let your 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, let no one despise, but be an example to believers in word, in faith. Hallelujah. In faith. I think Pastor Divine was speaking about along faith this morning. He says, be an example in faith. You won't be waiting on God. You won't be telling people to wait on God. And then when it's your own turn, you cannot wait on God. Or you not believe that God will do it. That's why you start running helter-skelter. You know, from January 1 to this point, anything that ever wants to disturb my peace that comes, I just smile and I turn. I say, this is not going to happen. This is what is supposed to happen. And I face what I know God has said will happen. And then that which is against what God has said will happen just disappears like that. If anybody is coming and is coming to disturb my peace, I'm like, why do you want to? Why are you disturbing my peace? That's not my contract with God. We walk in faith. If I need something, I'm like, God, why will I need this kind of thing now? Well, I said, well, that's because you can afford it. That's because God can afford it. Or God knows how to provide for it. Amen. I told you, I was sitting in the office. And someone, they sent me a bill. They sent me a bill. And I was almost like, how am I going to afford to pay this bill? And somebody somewhere at that point, even before I saw the bill, had sent money to me that would take care of that bill. And I called the person. I said, I hope you didn't make a mistake. I had to call because I saw the person's name. I said, how on earth will this person send me money? So I called. I said, I saw this. I hope this is not a mistake. He said, no. It was laid upon my heart that they sent it. And I laughed. Because God knew that. And the bill that I was supposed to have paid that bill in December. I didn't see the bill. The bill was supposed to have been paid December 8th. I didn't see it. Until January 14 or 12. That's when I saw it. It's already late, sir. But they sent a reminder that, okay, you have not paid, but you have so. Really? But by that time, God has sorted it out. Faith works. Amen. Now, it's not going to be every time that somebody is going to send you money. Hallelujah. It's not going to be every time that somebody is going to do for it. But faith that God will deal with the situation. How God will deal with it, you do not know. He says that is the beginning and the end. See, between that beginning and the end, everything in between, you and I don't know. But what we know is that when something is happening, he knows about it. And how it is going to end, he knows about it. What your responsibility, you and I, is to follow him along the way, in between the beginning and the end, so that we do not miss our steps. It's not an automatic thing that somebody is going to send money or somebody is going to... No. What is sure is that God is going to sort that situation and you have to stand in faith and stand with him. When oftentimes what happens is that we always want to help God. That's why he's telling Timothy here, be an example to believers in faith. Hallelujah. When we believe in him, things will happen. Let us rise to our feet. Let's talk to God this morning. It says in Ephesians 5 that let us be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and giving himself for us an offering. And giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. He said we should walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us. Let's also, be.
Tell him
that in conduct, in purity, in faith, in love, in word, I want to be an example to believers so that there will be many more of Christ-like men moving around, influencing the world and making the world a better place. Lord, we give you all the praise and thanks. Thank you for your word that tells us that these things are possible and can be done. Thank you because we will truly be an effulgence of your glory, and indeed in our midst, that which is worthy of saints will only be found in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.